Well, it is so great to be back in New York. It is so great. It is so great to be back here. And we love Beam and Nicole so much, and you guys are so blessed. You know that, but I just want to remind you, you guys are so blessed to have them spearheading the singles ministry. They have a passion for this ministry, and more than anything, they have a passion for God. And when I think of Beam and Nicole, I think of servants. I think of men, a man and a woman who's like, here I am, send me. That's them. They've been faithful, and gosh, they have really stood the test. So it's really great. Thank you guys for inviting us back to be with the New York singles. We do have a special passion for the singles ministry, and we believe that the singles ministry should be leading every church, spearheading every church in all of our churches. We believe you have the spiritual, the maturity, the convictions, your heroes, you have some money now, you got some time. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, think about it. Married people are all tied up and twisted and, you know, they got kids running between their legs and you know, I mean, they trying to feed people. I mean, it's different. And then you got teens, bless their heart, we love them. But then you got campus, they don't have no money. I mean, really. And then you have the singles. Then you have the singles. So I tell you, to see your worship and to be here with you guys tonight is a true blessing. I give you my husband, Larry Reed. Amen.
Well, amen. You know, you can turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to jump right in. As my wife mentioned, we are super thrilled and honored to be with you here this evening. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14 through verse 16, we see Jesus speaking and he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called by God to let our light shine, not just to yourself. The Bible says, let your light shine before others. And that leads us to the title of this evening's message, Inspired to Shine. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, it's time. It is time. I want you to say it with me. It's time. Say it like you believe it. It's time. It's time to let your light shine before God and before others. Let's pray. Spirit of God, flood this auditorium with your presence. Father, we want to feel you tonight as we read your words. Father, I pray that our hearts, our minds are wide open. Father, I pray that as we stand attention to your word here this evening, that you'll speak directly to us. Father, I pray that when we leave here tonight, we leave here different people, changed people. It's time to let our light shine. Not put it under a bowl, Lord, but to shine. Father, I want to thank you in advance for answering this prayer. Inspire us this evening. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you. Work in our hearts right now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Let the church say, amen. You know, God is looking for individuals who he can breathe his inspiration into. You know, in this lost world, in this world of darkness we all live in, God is looking for some inspired lights who are willing to let their light shine before others. You know, a great example of this is found in Jeremiah chapter 32. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 38, the Bible says, they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. You know, I want you to notice right here that God says, and I will inspire them. Well, what does it mean to inspire? Well, you know, the word inspire is a Latin word that literally means to inflame. It means to excite. It means to encourage. It means to breathe life into. It literally means to be filled with the breath of God. You know, God was going out of his way to inspire a discouraged prophet. God was on a mission to inspire his servant leader, Jeremiah. Notice what God said he was going to do. Verse 39, I will give them singleness of heart and action. What else did God say he's going to do? In verse 40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. In verse 40, I will never, never, never stop doing good to them. Verse 40, I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I'm here to tell you that's a promise from God. God will do his part. Only sin will cause us to turn away from a good God. It is sin that stops us from being inspired. It's sin that stops us from being filled with the very breath of God in our lives. You know, God says, I want to inspire you. Notice the Bible didn't say, I want to force you to fear me. That's not what the Bible says. God's not going to force anybody to love them. But God did say, I want to inspire them to do what? To fear me. Why? So that they will never turn away from me. And then in verse 41, I will rejoice in doing them good. You know, God flat out is in heaven right now, enjoying doing good things to us. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that, though? Now, I know Satan can be in our head all week long, but God just dropped by tonight to say, you know what? That's Satan. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I will rejoice in doing them good. You know, God wants this more than we do, brothers and sisters. You know, God says, I am going to inspire you tonight. You know, God literally wants to breathe his inspirational words of life in the hearts of his people here this evening. What does he want to do? He wants to inflame us. What else does he want to do? He wants to set you on fire. You know, God himself wants to intensify your passion, or maybe perhaps re-intensify your passion. He wants to encourage us. He wants his people to literally be filled with the breath of God in our lives. The question is, will you let him in? you let this God in your life? Only you, not Bean, not Nicole, though we love them to death. Only you can decide how much you're willing to let this good God in. You know, we're going to look at one of the most inspirational passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. This passage of Scripture has literally changed not only our life, but it's changed our leadership. And it's my hope and prayer that we leave here this evening greatly inspired, greatly inspired by our God. And as a result, we'll be inspired to let our light shine. Well, what is it going to take? I got 2 points here for you tonight. What is it going to take to be inspired people whose lights are shining before others? Point number one, to inspire, you first must be inspired. And that's a huge point right there. You see, to inspire anybody, you first have to be inspired. You got to get inspired. Stop looking around for anybody to inspire you. You get inspired. You first. What would New York City, what would New Jersey be like if every single disciple of Jesus Christ got themselves inspired first? What would this city be like? It'll tear some mess up in New York City. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7, the Bible says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it a tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose. Sounds like a singles ministry to me. And stood at the entrance to what? Their tent. Watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud will come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped. Amen. God got a standing ovation. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You see, to inspire, you first must be inspired. How are you going to let your light shine before others if you're not first inspired? You know, what made Moses such an inspirational man of God? What was it about Moses' light that shined in such a way that it inspired and impacted the lives of so many people? Simply this, Moses' personal relationship with God was inspiring. You see it because everyone was watching him. Everyone noticed Moses walk with God. Everyone saw something different when Moses walked with God. This is where it all starts. In verse 7, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. The Bible says Moses had a tent of meeting. What's a tent of meeting? Glad you asked. It was a special place where Moses would go just to meet with God. It was a consistent place. It was a place of habit. It was a place where Moses didn't have a quiet time. It was a place where Moses worshiped God. It was a place where Moses went, where he got inspired by God, where his spiritual light can shine before God and others. Well, what was so special about Moses' tent of meeting? Well, the Bible says as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud will come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And then in verse 11, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. You know, the Bible says the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Talk about being inspired. What would that do to you? Imagine, just for a moment, if Mr. Rogers can say, let's play make-believe. But just imagine, speaking to the Lord face to face, as one who speaks to a friend. What was God doing? God was literally breathing his inspired words into the life of Moses. And as a result, look who was watching and imitating. The Bible says in verse 11, Joshua, his young aide, did not leave the tent. This is discipleship, folks. You see, to inspire, you first must be inspired. Here's a freebie. Stop worrying about everyone else. Light. Stop it. Don't go there. Stop worrying about everybody else's light. Worry about your own light. Moses' walk with God was so inspiring that the Bible basically says Joshua imitated him. I love the words of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill says, before you can inspire others, you first must be swamped with it yourself. I'm convinced those words are so true. Before we can inspire others, you first must be passionate with it. You know, to be an inspirational person, you got to really, really, really want it. You got to really, really want God allowing your light to shine. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a special place right now where you go throughout the week just to meet with God? Do you have a place where you go to just to bring your needs to God? Do you have a special place where you can lay your request before God and he's willing to listen to every one of them? Do you have a special place where you can go to God and ask God, God, I got all these closed doors in my life, but God, I trust you that you can open up those closed doors. Do you have a special place that you can go to that God longs to see you on a daily basis, where you can release your pressures to, your stresses, your anxieties, those hardships, those worries, those challenges? Do you have a special place where you go to meet with God day by day? In other words, let's keep it biblical. Do you have a tent of meeting? Not a tent of seconds. Can I preach just a little bit? I'm not talking about a tenth of minutes. I'm not talking about a tenth of whenever I can. I'm not talking about a tenth of leftovers. I'm not talking about a tenth of inconsistency. I'm not talking about a tenth of, hey, on Sunday I'm fired up, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, oh, but then, oh, devotional's coming on Saturday, so I got to go to my tent. Do you have a tent of meeting? You know, I made this decision shortly after my baptism. 33 years ago, when I saw Moses have a tent of meeting, I was like, God, I gotta have me one. You ever see somebody have something you want and you're like, you know what, I can get that too? That's called imitation. I was like, if this is good for Moses, this should be good for me. I want God to feel like he has somebody that he can talk to.
I know it's lonely for God at times, but God longed. He looked forward to it. He's looking like, he's like, you know what? I know Moses is getting ready to come to me. There he goes into his tent of meeting.
You know, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I had a tent of meeting. It was a beautiful trail that led to this historic lighthouse near the shores of Lake Michigan. This was a special place where I would go and just open wide my heart before God. It was there that God opened up my heart and said, Larry, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. It was in my tent of meeting that God convinced me that there's a difference between religion and a relationship with God. It was in my tent of meeting. It was in that tent of meeting that I was praying and praying and praying. God, I know that there's got to be someone special for me. We've been praying that prayer too. Amen, brothers and sisters. I know I'm not the only one. But man, God and I, we had a workout in my tent of meeting. It got foggy in there. And I kept it really real with God. God, I know there's got to be somebody special. Reveal it to me, God. God, I don't want to be single forever. I know my mama taught me how to iron. I know my mama taught me how to cook. I know my mama taught me how to clean. But doggone it, God, come on, I want to get married at some point in time. And we laid it out in my tent of meeting. It was there in that tent of meeting that God says, okay, Larry, you're wearing me out. I'm going to give you Kim Morris. And that Kim Morris became Kim Reed. And our anniversary is this Monday, and it will be 30 years to the glory of God. All because of my tent of meeting. Do you have a special place? We moved from Milwaukee to Chicago. I had to find a new tent of meeting. And I found this jetty on the shores of Lake Michigan. You ever just stand by a large body of water? It just engulfs you, right? I mean, just when you think you're big, God has a way of humbling you. When you see the vastness of how huge this lake is. And I remember praying and crying out. God heard so many prayers and blessed me there. My tent of meeting. Moved to Detroit, Michigan, where we led the church there. And I was like, okay, God, I'm giving up some great tent of meetings. I got to find me a new one. It's always exciting to find a new spot. It was a bird and animal sanctuary. And, you know, my wife didn't join me often because they had a lot of animals. She left me by myself. Yes, she did. Foxes will cross the path as you walk. There'll be deers, there'll be these cranes, there will be snakes. All kind of scary animals. But I'm like, you know what? In the days of the Bible, that's what they did, right? They didn't have concrete roads like we have today. They didn't have sidewalks like we have sidewalks. They had a lot of woods back then and there. Feeling close to God in nature. And it was there where God put on my heart to reach out to my younger brother. My brother gave me a phone call one day. And he mentioned to me that he was hurting and he needed some spiritual inspiration in his life. Well, I had to go to my tent of meeting right after that phone call. And I cried out to God in a prayer that I will never forget. I walked away with three thoughts that God put on my heart. Number one, God convinced me in that prayer, you need to call your brother and have him come from Milwaukee to Detroit this weekend. Second of all, God convinced me that when he comes, you're going to study the Bible with your youngest brother. The third thought that God put in my heart, he's going to come, you're going to study with him, and you're going to baptize your brother that same weekend. In the name of Jesus, amen. You ever just had a prayer? You prayed that scared you to death? It sounded good as you were praying, but then as you perceive what you was praying about, that's a pretty daunting task. How do I know he wants to come? God's like, leave that part to me. You just obey what you prayed. You see, sometimes we pray, but we don't put feet to our prayers. Oh, you want to see your prayer life go to a different level? Just stop giving God lip service. Put some feet on your prayers. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. I forget, man, this is the devotional. This isn't Sunday. God moved in a powerful way. He not only came that weekend, he traveled 5.5 hours. He and his wife were both open to study. And get this, in one day, both he and his wife were baptized into Jesus Christ. One day. Now, there's no way in the world that that's happening on sheer talent or how awesome or smooth I am. There's no way. All of that happened was because of my tent of meeting, my special place where I would go to talk face to face with my God, not knowing 3 years later, my youngest brother will pass away. God knows what he's doing. He's got the big picture. I'm just so happy that I had a tent of meeting. I can't tell you how grateful I am that I heard God speak to me through my tent of meeting, face to face. And I had the courage that day to put some feet to what God put in my heart. What am I saying? I love the scripture in Jeremiah 30. You know, inspire. You got to inspire yourself first before you inspire others. In Jeremiah 30, 21, their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will be among them. I will bring him near and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. So you will be my people and I will be your God. I love that scripture in verse 21. For who will dare come close to me? That's the New Living Translation. You see, this is where spiritual discipleship begins, and this is where spiritual discipleship ends. So goes your walk with God. There goes the kind of impact you could have on the job front. So goes your relationship with God. So goes your spiritual influence. So goes your walk with God. So goes your spiritual leadership. So goes your walk with God. So goes your spiritual relationships. So goes your walk with God. So goes your dreams and your aspirations. So goes your walk with God. Those souls who need the light of God could come into God's fold. So goes your walk with God. There goes your parenting skills. So goes your walk with God. Wow. The blessed life that God can really give us. You know, too many of us are relying upon our own strength. Too many of us are relying upon our own talents. It can catch up to you. You'll hit a wall. Perhaps too many of us are relying upon your years of experience being in the Lord. Perhaps some of us are relying upon your personality and your charisma to get you through life. Perhaps some of us are even relying upon our looks. Let me tell you something, looks alone won't do it, folks. Taking shortcuts, trying to do things without God. Let me tell you something, I've tried it. It won't work. It will take God. It will take God. It will take an inspired person who makes the decision to say, you know what? If I'm going to inspire others, I first must be inspired myself. I want to encourage you with the decision tonight. People are looking at you. They're watching even though you don't want them to watch. What's my philosophy with this? Give them something to see. Can I get an amen to that? Give them something to see. Your personal relationship with God is worth fighting for. It won't come easy, but it will come. It's worth fighting for. Moses did it and Joshua was watching. Whoa, I want what he has. You will never know who wants what you have. Get inspired first. Amen, brothers and sisters? My last and final point. If you're not inspired, your dreams are too small. If you're not inspired, what's the issue? Maybe your dreams are too small. In Exodus chapter 33, the Bible goes on and says in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me lead these people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. You said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. Well, if you're pleased with me, God, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. These ain't mine. It's yours. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give them rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? What a scripture. God is looking for disciples who lead with dreams and visions. He's looking for disciples who have a heartfelt concern for other people. You know, God is looking for disciples who sincerely care about those lost souls who are lost, who need to be saved. God is looking for disciples who see the need to get God to move when you can't move. God is looking for disciples who literally seek his presence. I love this dialogue. Man, if your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other folk on the face of the earth? I love that dialogue. Moses is like, you know what, God, we need your help. Let's cut to the chase. We need your presence. Brothers and sisters, guess what? You need God's help. And you need God's presence to move the singles ministry here in New York and in New Jersey. You can't do it by yourself. You need his presence. You know, it's been 8 years now that my wife and I have had the opportunity to serve with the singles in Boston. You know, this scripture right here is something that my wife and I, we really had to wrestle with. We've cried over in prayer with the scripture. We've shed tears over the scripture. We've inquired of God over the state of the singles not only in Boston and New England and around the world over the scripture. The Bible says, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? And that's what my wife and I, we started praying. God, we were laying it out. God, hold on. What's going to distinguish this ministry? God, we don't want the Boston Singles to look like any other social group in Boston. God, we don't want the Singles ministry in Boston to look like any fraternity and sorority in the world. Distinguish us. God, we're asking you to distinguish us. What's going to distinguish us as a vibrant singles ministry in Boston and New England? What is it going to take to see you shake the singles ministry here in New York and in New Jersey? God made it clear. You know what, Larry? You need to get a vision. A clear one. Not a foggy one. Not a dim one. You need a vision for what God can do in Boston. You need a dream. You know, I realized the Boston Singles were stuck. Have you ever felt stuck before? You don't want to be stuck, but you're stuck. You want to move, but you can't move. For years, can I just get real where we were? In Boston, everyone viewed the singles ministry as a black hole. It was a deep, dark one. It was viewed by others as the ministry you really wanted to avoid. Campus students got 6 degrees. Just avoid the bridge to singles ministry. Brother, I'm getting another degree, brother. Underwater basket weaving. Just to avoid going to the singles ministry. Here's the sad part. We had singles in the singles ministry who hated their own ministry. They didn't want to be in their ministry. But you're single. Help me understand that. We had singles migrating to married family groups. Just like geese migrate to the south when wintertime comes, there was a great migration of singles just going to married ministries. I really want to keep it real with y'all. There was a spirit of weirdness. We were weird. Brothers and sisters was, you know, they're my people. But we were weird. Brothers and sisters was disconnected from one another. Sisters would sit on one side of the church and the brothers would sit in another church. I'm like, what is going on here? People were bored. You know, the ministry had a lifeless feel to it. People were lonely and very distant. Brothers were hiding in their personal caves. Picketing, hiding. I'm hiding. Sisters were frustrated because the brothers were hiding and not leading. You know, there was a spirit of criticalness in our fellowship. People were cynical that this ministry would not change. You say anything, the singles ministry is going to change. Yeah. I've heard that before. Tell me something new. Cynical. Our singles ministry lacked growth for a long time, and some of our groups for years. Imagine being in a ministry where you didn't see singles getting baptized. Larry, Kim, this is your task. Do you accept? Mission impossible. God was like, you know what? You need a vision. You need a dream. I felt like, Lord, what did we get ourselves caught up in? You see what we're saying? We cried over the scripture. We prayed. We're like, God, distinguish us. God put this scripture in our heart. And then he said in verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, okay, show me your glory. What a dream. What a vision. You ever prayed for a dream and it didn't come quick enough? It took me a long time. You know, I wish I could just say, man, it happened that same day. It took me months. I was getting discouraged. I had people like Phil Arsenal think, bro, it's coming. Kevin Miller, bro, it's coming. Doug Arthur, bro, the vision is coming. When is it coming? But when it came, it hit me. Larry, I want you guys to build the singles ministry around the theme of love. Where it looks like family and it feels like family. For a whole year, that's all we taught. Every midweek service was on love. Discipling times, we focused on love. Leadership team meetings, how to love. When I spoke for sermons on love, every devotional we had for a whole year was how to love like Jesus did and not like the world. We needed God to shine. We need a breakthrough in the singles ministry. And thus we started putting some big, nasty, bold, hairy dreams out there to God in prayer. God, let the singles ministry carry the church in growth. What? Did he just pray for? We ain't grown, bro. You talking about carry the church? Let the singles ministry be a ministry that's led by singles. God, allow us to hire single interns in Boston. Not campus interns, not youth and family interns, not married, single interns. God, allow us to have singles on the church board. God, allow us to have singles training and teaching in the roles of a teacher. God, allow us to have singles to be in leadership roles in our local Hope chapters. God, let there be singles who work in the Boston administrative staff. God, allow us to have singles who lead us in worship, just like we saw just a few moments ago. God, allow us to baptize more men. And for the other men to step up and lead. God, give us some amazing sisters who are patient with the brothers. Can I get an amen? Y'all be patient with us. God's still working on us. We still a masterpiece in the making. God, give us singles who take on the one-year challenge. God, give us, here's a radical one, God. Help us to appoint a single brother to be an evangelist. How about appointing or recognizing a single sister as a women's ministry leader in Boston? How about singles that can lead churches? Let me say this. How about singles who can lead churches not only in America, but over in the world? Distinguish us. God heard our prayers as this sermon is coming to an end. And God continues to hear our prayers of faith. You know, we still got our mess just like everybody else got mess. I just want y'all to know, we got mess too, all right? But in the spirit of mess, God is blessing. We see the light shining. The singles ministry is a growing ministry in Boston, often leading the whole church in growth. We now have 6 single interns serving to the glory of God in Boston Church of Christ. Singles. singles lead singles in Boston. I'm just there, we're just there to facilitate, raise up, and train. They're doing all the work. We have three single teachers, and one is a female, to the glory of God. We have singles who served in Hope Singles Corps, Haiti, Europe, Guatemala, Nepal, Kenya, just to name a few. And when they come back on fire, and they want to be in leadership. We got three singles on the church's board. We had a single man appointed as an evangelist. And we ended 2018 with the bang. Angela Perry, over 50 years old, was recognized as a women's ministry leader in the Boston Church of Christ. God has a vision even for the older sisters in Jesus Christ. What am I saying? God is moving. It's exciting, and we're having fun. We just had over 450 people at a singles retreat. People from California, people from Nevada, people from Texas, people from Florida. It's amazing when you're having fun. Let me encourage you to pray big prayers. Never, never, never try to do this without God. I want to share a true story as I close about a 7-year-old girl that inspired me. This little 7-year-old girl lived on a farm. This is a true story. In Texas, where my wife is from. They had a cow that was ready to give birth. But the father told his family that they were not going to keep any more cows. That when born, they would either sell that cow or give it away. But Jamie had a desire in her heart. I want to keep it. I want to keep it. So she pleaded and pleaded with her dad to keep it. Daddy, please let me keep this last cow. Daddy, please make an exception with me. Well, after a couple of weeks wearing down her father said, Jamie, I'll make a deal with you. If the calf is born black, you can keep it. But if it's born brown or white or spotted, we will have to give it away. Jamie, in her childlike zeal, she agreed to that proposal. Little Jamie didn't know any better. So she just started praying and praying and praying and praying. If your dreams are too small, you're not inspired enough. This was a big, big one for her. You know, every night she would go to bed, God, I'm asking you that this cow be born black. I'm asking you that there won't be any doubt that this calf belongs to Jamie. Now, most of us adults, we wouldn't pray for anything like that. That's way too far out there. That's too radical. I've come to learn that radical faith gets radical results. 2 weeks later, that calf was born. Not only was it born black, but right between its eyes is the letter J for Jamie. Show the picture, my brother. Won't God show up? I don't think you heard me. Won't God show up? Radical faith gets radical results. Our God, for the fun of it, bless this 7-year-old girl named Jamie. He wanted everybody to know that that calf belongs to Jamie. So much so that God stamped a J on that calf's big forehead. Thereby
making sure that this little calf belongs to Jamie. I don't think you guys hear me enough. We serve an awesome God. I'm going to say it again, President. We serve an awesome God. When you pray God-sized prayers, God will show up in a big way. He will even give you the desires of your heart. Brothers and sisters, God is calling you to get inspired tonight. God wants your light to shine before others. Are you willing? Are you willing to let your light shine? To inspire, you first must what? Be inspired. And if you're not inspired, your dreams are too small. Not anymore. Not anymore, New York. Not anymore, New Jersey. Let's make a decision today. You let your light shine before God. And to God be the glory. Amen.